As they walked back through the desolate landscape, the three friends found themselves lost in thought. They had been through so much together, but this latest blow still stung. "I never got to say goodbye," Carl said finally, his voice barely above a whisper. "I wish I could have told Trinity how much she meant to me." "Me too," Martin added, his eyes clouding over with tears. "We should have been there for her more often." "Don't blame yourself," Darren said gently. "We all did the best we could." The three friends walked on in silence for a while, the only sound the crunch of gravel beneath their feet. After a while, Carl spoke up again. "You know, I've been thinking, maybe it's time we found out what's going on with this world. What kind of place is this where people can just disappear?" Martin nodded vigorously. "Yeah, and who was that figure, the one who took Trinity away from us?" Darren frowned thoughtfully. "I don't know, but I think it might be connected to the strange energy we felt at the temple." Carl's eyes snapped back into focus. "The temple? You mean the ancient ruins?" Martin's face lit up with excitement. "Yeah, we should go back there and try to find some answers." Darren hesitated, but then nodded too. "Okay, let us do it." And so they set off towards the distant mountains, driven by a sense of purpose for the first time in weeks. As they journeyed towards the temple, the three friends noticed that the landscape grew increasingly twisted and distorted. The air thickened with an eerie energy, and the sky turned a sickly shade of green. "Guys, I don't like this," Martin said, his voice laced with unease. "This feels wrong. We're almost there, Martin," Carl reassured him, squinting through the gloom. "The temple can't be much farther." As they crested a small hill, a horde of twisted creatures emerged from the shadows. They were like nothing the three friends had ever seen before. Their bodies seemed to be made up of a mass of writhing, pulsing tendrils, and their faces were a grotesque parody of Pullinger's features. "Pullingers," Carl whispered, his eyes fixed on the creatures in horror. Martin nodded, his face pale. "Those are definitely Pullingers, or at least, they're made up of them." Darren drew his sword, its blade crackling with energy. "Let's get out of here before things get any worse." The three friends charged forward, their movements fluid and precise as they fought off the Pullinger creatures. But for everyone they defeated, two more seemed to take its place. As they battled on, Carl noticed something strange each time he landed a blow. The Pullingers would momentarily flash with a faintly familiar face before returning to their twisted, pulsing form. It's like they're trying to show us something," Martin panted, his sword slicing through a particularly stubborn creature. Darren nodded, his eyes narrowed. "I think you might be right, Carl." With a burst of strength, Carl struck down at the largest Pullinger creature, yes, and for an instant, its face cleared, revealing a glimpse of Pullinger's own features before it twisted back into its monstrous form. The three friends fought on, their movements growing more precise as they began to understand the Pullinger's true nature. And with one final blow, Carl struck down at the leader of the horde, and as it fell, the creature dissipated into nothingness, leaving behind a faint echo of Pullinger's face. As the dust settled, the three friends stood panting, their eyes locked on the spot where the Pullingers had vanished. "Well, that was enlightening," Martin said finally, his voice laced with unease. "Who do you think is behind this?" Darren and Carl exchanged a look, their faces grim. "I think it is Pullinger," Carl said quietly. "Those creatures were twisted versions of him, or at least, made up of parts of him." Martin nodded, his eyes clouding over with concern. "But why?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. "What could have driven him to create such monstrosities? Then what does it have to do with Trinity's death?" Darren added, his brow furrowed in thought. With Pullinger's true nature revealed, Carl felt his rage boil over once more. He turned to his friends, his eyes blazing with determination. "Let's get moving," he growled. "We're going after Pullinger." Martin and Darren nodded, their faces set in grim determination. Together, the three friends sprinted back towards the temple, leaving the twisted landscape behind. As they approached, they spotted the tricks still patrolling the perimeter of the temple complex. Carl's grip on his sword tightened, his anger surging to new heights. "Time for some payback," he snarled, his eyes locked on the tricks. The beast sensed their approach and turned towards them, its eyes glowing with malevolent intelligence. The three friends charged forward, their movements a blur as they clashed with the tricks in a whirlwind of steel and fury. Carl wielded his sword like a wild raptor, striking at the tricks with precision and ferocity. Darren, meanwhile, employed his size with deadly effectiveness, his movements fluid and calculated. "And Julie?" He brought out his ladder, extending it to its fullest extent all the way up to the trick's head. With a fierce cry, Carl and Darren leapt onto the beast's skull, using the ladder as a makeshift stairway. Carl plunged his sword deep into the trick's brain, aiming for the sweet spot where intelligence and instinct converged. The trick let out a deafening roar as it stumbled backwards, its eyes flashing with pain and confusion. Darren took advantage of this momentary distraction to strike at the trick's eyes, driving his size into both sockets with precision and deadly accuracy. The trick let out a final, anguished bellow before its massive body slumped to the ground, defeated. The three friends stood victorious, their chests heaving with exhaustion as they gazed down upon the fallen beast. Carl wiped the sweat from his brow, his eyes gleaming with a mix of triumph and fury. "Well, that was fun," he said, his voice dripping with sarcasm. Darren chuckled, his eyes twinkling with amusement. You're telling me, Julie just grinned, still panting heavily as he descended the ladder. That was quite something. With the Trek defeated, Carl felt his rage and determination reach new heights. He turned to his friends, his eyes blazing with a fierce intent. It's time for pulling air, he growled, his voice slow and menacing. Let us go, Martin and Darren nodded, their faces set in grim determination as they followed Carl into the temple. The air grew thick with anticipation as they charged forward, ready to face whatever lay ahead. And then everything went black. The darkness was absolute, a void so profound it seemed to swallow all light and sound alike. Carl felt his friend's hands grab onto his arms, holding him steady as he stumbled through the void. He tried to call out to them, but his voice was lost in the emptiness. And then there was nothing. As the darkness receded, Julie slowly opened his eyes to find himself back in his solitary confinement cell. The cold, grey walls seemed to close in on him like a vice, suffocating him with a crushing weight of reality. He sat up, rubbing his temples as the memories of the dream came flooding back. Carl, Darren, and they had been so convinced that they were free, that they had defeated Pullinger and escaped the temple. But it was all just a dream. A vivid, disturbingly real dream. Julie felt a wave of despair wash over him as he realized the truth. He was still trapped in this wretched prison with no hope of escape. The others too, Darren, the head kingpin, and Carl, the IT guy. The weight of his disappointment was crushing. Julie let out a defeated sigh, feeling like he was drowning in a sea of despair. Please, he whispered, his voice barely audible over the sound of his own heartbeat. Is this all there is?